Okay, today is the first Sunday of Advent. We'll be following the season of Advent thematically. The first topic that we come to is hope. And the title of our message this morning is Hope Came Down. The scripture text is taken from the prophet Micah, chapter 5, and verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. What amazing detail is given here. The place of Jesus' birth is given in great specificity. It's Bethlehem Ephrathah, not Bethlehem of Galilee, or not any of the other great towns or villages or cities in Israel of the day. But it would be Bethlehem Ephrathah. And Micah's contemporary, the prophet Isaiah, tells us the nature of the birth of the Christ. That it would be a virgin birth. The Holy Spirit would overshadow Mary, and the result would be the conception of Emmanuel, God with us, of whom we just sang. Jesus Christ would come into the world to settle our spiritual debt, the debt of sin that nobody could pay, that neither you or I could ever satisfy on our own. We needed Jesus Christ. We needed God Himself to intervene into human affairs on our behalf, that we might be reconciled to Him. Now notice in the scripture text that we've chosen this morning, the eternality of Jesus, the Son of God, is stressed. Whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. When Jesus Christ came onto the scene of human history, this was not the beginning of the Son of God. The Son of God has no beginning. He has no genealogy. He has no beginning of days nor end of years, as the writer of Hebrews puts it. But instead, His goings forth have been from of old. The same thing is said of God the Father in the 90th Psalm. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. We have the same construction here in the Hebrew. Just as the goings forth have been from eternity past for the Father, the goings forth of the Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, have likewise been from eternity past. Now let's look at the three aspects of hope as they relate to our text. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. The Old Testament prophesied here and in many other places that someday hope would come down. And guess what, friends? 2,000 years ago, hope came down, just as God promised in His holy word through the ages. And someday, hope in the form of Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior, will once again come down to set all things right. First, the Old Testament prophesied that hope would someday come down. Hope would come down. The seed of a woman. The seed of a woman. The very first prophecy in the Bible, we find it in the third chapter of Genesis in the 15th verse. That the woman would have a seed. The reference to the virgin birth. The very first reference in the Bible to the virgin birth and the fact that God Himself would come down and be incarnate and save His people. This is further elaborated upon by the prophet of Isaiah, where he says that a virgin shall be found to be with child. Now, this isn't just a woman. Many who seek to discredit the scriptures will say, well, that could be any old woman. But no, God in His infinite wisdom had Isaiah use the word Alma here, a woman that has never known or had relations with a man. That word can mean no other thing than a virgin. His ancestry would be from Abraham, Isaac, not Esau, but Jacob, not Simeon, or Levi, or Dan, or Issachar, but Judah. And even within the families of Judah, he would come from the household of David. The Messiah, or the Christ, both terms simply mean the Anointed One. Messiah being the Hebrew, Christ being the Greek. They mean the Anointed One, the one upon whom God has set His Spirit, according to the prophet Isaiah. The Messiah of the Christ would minister as a prophet, the prophet referred to. The prophet like as unto Moses, but behold, one greater than Moses. The Christ would be a priest. He would be the intermediary between God and man. He would be a priest of the order of Melchizedek. Not a priest of the Levitical priesthood, but a priest of the order of Melchizedek. Now, in order to be a priest after the order of Melchizedek, you had to have certain qualifications, among which are no beginning of days and no end of years. You had to be eternal. The only one who could be a priest after the order of Melchizedek could be God Himself. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, took that mantle upon Himself on our behalf, on the behalf of you and I. The Messiah, the Christ, would also be a king. Now, the first time He came lowly, on a donkey. And so, a king He is. Not as the world may judge, but He has a spiritual kingdom. The spiritual kingdom made up of believers. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if He is your Savior, if you call Him Lord, then you are His subject. And He is your king. And you are a member of His spiritual kingdom over which He alone presides. More on His kingship later. Now, 2,000 years ago, hope came down. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. And this is going to be important as we go forward in our study here this morning. Born under the law is a reference to the idea that He would be born into the Old Testament Jewish system, if you will. And part of that is that as all males, all Jewish males were required to be, is that he would be circumcised on the eighth day. And we're going to find that in the context of where we're going with this. To redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Nobody could ever be redeemed by the law. The law only pointed to the need for a redeemer. The law and the Ten Commandments are such that nobody can keep them. Maybe you've never physically murdered anybody, but have you ever been angry? Maybe you've never physically committed adultery, but have you ever looked upon somebody of the opposite sex whom God has not given you? And Jesus uses these kinds of examples to bring this truth out in the Sermon on the Mount. So to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Abba, Daddy. The personal relationship with God emphasized here. And so when the fullness of time had come, hope came down. Jesus Christ came down. Hope came down under the humblest of circumstances. He was born in a manger, in a feeding trough, or a cave. He was born at night, not at midday. And his birth was witnessed by ordinary people, shepherds in the fields, the ordinary folk of Israel, Mary and Joseph, for instance. Ordinary people like you and I witnessed the amazing miracle of God because of their faith. How is it that the shepherds knew of his birth? How is it that the wise men knew whereabouts and about what time they might seek him? They believed the Old Testament prophecy that hope would someday come down. And they read Daniel chapter 9 and they calculated the 483 years from the rebuilding in Jerusalem under Nehemiah, and they knew exactly what time their Savior would come. This point wasn't missed on Simeon Arena either. We're going to find out. Look at the reaction of those who were witnesses to hope coming down. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1, please. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 45. We're going to find the reaction of Elizabeth. This is John the Baptist's mom, Zechariah's wife. Blessed is she who believed, for they will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And again in the Magnificat, the words of Mary: My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Down to verse 54. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. In other words, hope came down God fulfills His promises. And guess what? God fulfills His promises to you and I today. I will never leave you nor forsake you. It said to Joshua, it said again to the readers of the book of Hebrews, and it's spoken through the words of the scriptures to you and I today. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." The city of David. This is a reference to the exactitude of how God fulfills His prophetic word. As we read in our text in Micah, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth." Bethlehem, Ephrathah was the city of David's birth and his ancestry. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Turning to verse 29, we read the words of Simeon. Now, just to give you a little bit of background, Jesus is presented in the temple in Jerusalem, not far from Bethlehem, where his birth took place. On the eighth day, remember, he was born under the law, we said, right? So on the eighth day, he would need to be circumcised in the temple. And he would submit himself to that as a baby. And here in the temple, we find two great saints, two of the last of the Old Testament saints, Simeon and Anna, who are waiting in the temple in earnest expectation, having believed the Old Testament scriptures that hope would come down, waiting for that day. And they were not just lucky to be in the right place at the right time. They were faithful to be in the right place at the right time. Take heed that you be faithful to be in the right place at the right time. Luck has no part of it. There are no accidents in the economy of God. So we read the words of Simeon in verse 29 of the second chapter of Luke. "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word." In other words, according to the Old Testament scriptures as they were written, and according to the prophecies of Isaiah and Micah and others. "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." And then we read the account of Anna in the 36th verse. "Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, or better, until she was 84, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day." And coming in that instant, through faith, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of Him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. In that instant, she exclaimed, she prophesied, "Christ has come forth, and He was born in the city of David, 8 days ago. He was born of a virgin and he has come to save you from your sins. Hope has come down. Will you have him? Let us look at the results of the hope who came down. Jesus Christ is the hope who came down. He accomplished redemption. Redemption of the human race. He bought us back from the marketplace of sin. And he is available, and his redemption is available to all who believe. If you've not already had a spiritual rebirth, it's possible for you on the basis of Christ's work. We're all born physically, and we all have an eternal spirit. And that spirit will live on. But will it live on in the presence of God? Do you have hope this Christmas that your spirit will live forever in the very presence of Christ? He has promised that if you believe, you can mark it down. This isn't a maybe kind of hope, but this is a sure hope. You will have eternal life and forever be with him. He has promised that he has prepared a place in heaven for you, and that place will be ready for you if you've made yourself ready. Well, what you ask must I do to make myself ready? Well, simply believe in faith. Trust that the hope that came down 2,000 years ago paid for your sins in full. Someday, friends, to leave you on an encouraging note, hope will come down again to set all things that are wrong right. Now, the first time he came just as he said he would come, humble, to establish his spiritual kingdom, his invisible spiritual kingdom, if you will. But just as he went back up to heaven and is seated today at the right hand of power, he will come back someday to set all wrongs right. Hope came down 2,000 years ago, and hope is coming down again. And so we rest in the hope of what he's done, and we rest in the hope of what he will do someday. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the hope that you bring. Thank you that hope came down in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ. May you bless all aspects of the remainder of our service. May you bless the remainder of our day. Heavenly Father, convict those in my hearing and those who come to this place today of their need, the daily need to rest upon your hope. Help us to rely more and more on you, and let your gospel in your name, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, the Savior, let his name go out with great power today. In His name we pray. Amen.